Well, it was much different because if the rough weather came up, you just couldn't, people out there, so you couldn't stand out rough weather out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then,
what would be rough about it?
Well, it's just the waves being so high, and you just can't be rocking on that. Oh yes, sometimes it gets hurt. Well, oh yes, sometimes even the fishermen get drowned in that sort of weather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets pretty rough in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from what I understood, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's one guy in the area, right?
Yeah.
He fished a while there in the district.
Yeah.
And they're having a week in the side of the
lake. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he got the lake.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy's yelling, just sort of sitting in the tent for the city of the family.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Those fishermen, they seem to go in any sort of weather. Well, they're just used to it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that long hours of working and no sleep, with a lot of accidents unloading stuff, people get tired, huh?
Oh well, sometimes I guess. Sometimes you just have to watch out the load of cases over your head. And if one happens to spill it down in the hole, you just have to get out of the way. So I didn't see much accidents, but then that's one thing they told us, whenever a load of cases overhead, be sure to get away from under it. Get away from stick to the side. And only after that the load is on the floor, then you could be good to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a load would spill to the floor, and then you have to get out of the way. And they were sort of careful, though, then people understood that no accident happens, you know. They took their time, especially in the instrument. You know, they see that you'd be out of the way first before you lay down into the hold. And then as I pulled out on the plane, on the sky. So having all these years when I was out there, long term, I didn't see hardly any action. But then I suppose that happened, but I didn't see any.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think there's any boring job about that sort of work. Because you'd have to watch what you're doing, you know. The machine don't stop. Like if you're feeding lips on that top, you'd have to keep up with it. Same way as down below, you'd have to keep the fisher up. And to the hood to the butcher. And the next guy, he feeds it to that big, what you call an iron sink. There's about three or four stars on that. It flips open the fish, and then it clears out the guts, and you just have to keep up with them, that with the machine. So there's no boring left. That sort of work. Of course, loading on in the warehouse, it's a sort of boring there, but that's the only part. But all the rest of it, you just have to keep busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Otherwise, if you stop, the machine don't stop. You have to keep up with it.
What would, say, people like, well, like your wife be doing, or other families, what would the women be doing while all the men would be at the county?
Sometimes they'd stay and live in town here, and sometimes they'd be out in their own fish tank. Fishing king salmon mostly. And then, we don't use much of that dog salmon, so the women don't want to come up with that. But then they, because of the two families, they couldn't even make strips or put them in a bear or cut them off and eat them for smoke them in the smoke house. But they would be doing that while the men are out in the corner.
How did the family compare from
the day? Oh, well, during this day, they were much fatter. They're right from the sea, and while the fish appears, it is sort of flat, you know, because it's traveling the wrong way. I guess they just fatten up, you know, just to make it fly up a stream along with the spawning ground. And I don't think they feed along the way, not that I know of, the sun, until they get up to the spawning ground. So that's the difference. The fish are a little flatter, and the wild, the ones in the out in the corners are pretty much heavier. There's only difference between them.
What happened after?
We just had the same life, go out trapping. Of course, I had extra passengers in the sleigh. And then while I went out trapping deer especially, he'd stay home at the tent there, cook dog food, cook. And sometimes I'd come home late, and everything would be ready, you know. I didn't have to sell people when I came home, or cook it when I came home. So I had good health like that. Then some kids got coming. I didn't go out too much. Of course, life was changing. There wasn't much. Trapping was taking off. And the most of the time, families would stay in town. I never just take my boys out trapping yet. Since I started working down here in the school. I started working about 10 years ago. And then I never just go out trapping anymore.
What kind of
work are you doing? I work as a custodian down here. This is my 10th year, but then since I had this surgery here, I had to lay off for a while.
How many children do you have?
Oh, well, the first one was a girl. She was born in 1950, in the fall of 1950. Rita, she's over the anxious now, going to, she can't train. And then we took her the first child we had, and we still had to go out. And then we bring her up. But I'm good like everybody else, and then this is warm in this place. And sometimes it gets cold in the tent, and we have to keep it that it doesn't get cold.
How do you
do that? Oh, well, keep it wrapped up in blankets, keep the fire going.
What kind of blankets
do you use? Oh, just ordinary blankets, custom-made blankets or this. This wool blanket. In the old days, we used to use rabbit skin blankets, which was much lighter and much warmer. But nowadays, we never see them anymore.
And
as we were having more children, I remember we used to go with three. And then after that, he didn't go out too much with the fourth child. Of course, he was born on the Katrina River out, so we were trapping the fourth child.
He was born out
in the trapping? Yes. I had to do the midwife on that one. Well, we could have come down here, just brought my wife down, but then I didn't want to lose too much time. we had so much big bill to pay. And then I just went, of course, everybody understood that. And then we just stayed out there.
Mm-hmm. But you knew what to do, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You
then
have to give
you the option? Well, maybe it's been a few years ago since the fourth child was born. And
you know,
midwife. Yes, I had to be a midwife.
Oh,
you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could have brought her down here. But then I had a lot of trapping to do, beautiful trapping. Mm-hmm. And that year I still couldn't pay up my bill. Then good thing from there I went to work at Galena in the construction office. Peter Kiewicz. They were gonna repay the whole field. Right? They gave me a job as a laborer. And then that way I got out of it all, paid my bills. And then it was big money, 48 an hour was big money for us in the year. And then that's what I paid for my groceries and a little left over. That's the first year I ever did that. So that was sort of a good year for me. And as everybody else at work, I suppose they did the same thing. Yeah, and then that's where the trapping sort of tapered off, like I say, since people started working. Oh, well. They make as much as they do in trapping, maybe more.
What do most people think is the best advantage of working at a job instead of
something? Oh, well, yes. Like there, they're getting paid by the hour. So, as out there, you'd have to keep catching for it. Which, of course, if you catch too much in one year, the next year won't be there to catch. That's only different.
So, you had four children?
Yeah, the last time I trapped, I had four children. It was a like newborn baby. And since that time, I left my family in town. From that time on, thank you. Well, from around 1957, I started going up from here. After we shifted a little up at Bishop Rock. And I'd go up from here in the fall. I did that for about maybe for about 8-9 years. And then after we started going out of Canada, I didn't have to go out too much trapping. Except for beaver.
Mm-hmm. When did you start going out to Bishop Rock?
Huh?
When did you start first time to Bishop Rock?
Oh, well, we lived through the all summer, and we just stayed there through the fall. We just spiked this under the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd come down, we'd move back down here about between the 8th and 8th and the 15th of November. And after that, I start out on the track. I start out for the camp, main camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just come out before little Christmas.
What year did you
start running this event? Around 52 or 53. Mm-hmm. Of course, we tried this camp down here. We used to do pretty good fishing down here at 9 Mile, but for some reason, it wasn't so good. First 2 or 3 days of heavy rain, and that's all you'd catch, and it took off quite a bit. So we use our fishing here and there, but it don't seem to be any good. So what I found out is that the fish ran on the outside of the island. And then they coming to the coastal shore around about 2 or 3 miles further up. So this fishing side down here is just no more good. So from that time on, we start fishing at Bishop Rock. Most of the two salmon, and that we'd use fish gear Of course, we cut more fish upwards and down at the camp where we used to be. And since that time, every year we'd move up to this place.
Do you still do that?
Oh, yes. We still do that.
Do you have family there?
Yes, the whole family, two or three other families. And then we just have to put up a real Easter fish. We just can't stay in town and don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're so used to Easter fish that we just have to go out and then move us back up to different block and cook as much as we can.
Yeah. So, did you have any
children
after that
last one at Catherine? Yes. The last one was born in 65. That's the last child we had. Going 13 now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we never had any more after that.
Mm-hmm. You had 5
altogether? You had 9
altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4 more. Of course, in 4 or 5, they're all grown up. And they, three of them are just on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have any grandchildren?
Just got 2 so far. Yeah. Well, one, a daughter, she has a child, and she's a, living with a boy from up in the on a period of time where he's working. And the other one is down here, he's a boy, he's 26. He's got a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that just makes it clear that I've got. Well, I don't know what else to say, but
yeah.
Of course I say a lot of things, but then
yeah.
It will take time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you said in 45 you went into the service.
No, in 42.
Oh, in 42.
And it got out in 46.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Like any other service, I suppose. Of course, everybody, naturally, everybody didn't like it. Not too much, because.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did you go?
Oh, I didn't get out of Alaska. I was just mostly at Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, some of these boats, Alaskan boats, they went out of state and out across, they went overseas, but not too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I was told that you thought you
didn't like
nature.
Oh, getting up at Riverly,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, about 6 most of the time, yeah. 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 Oh, yes. But I was young and didn't mind. Mm-hmm.
When you were young and say about 6 to 12, something like that, what kind of games did people play?
Oh, well, 6 to 12, well, I suppose it was racing, foot racing, and then hide and seek, football, yeah, you know, you can have set up a goal on one end, two goals on each end, and then you do mostly kicking. And then if you ever happen to get the ball through that goal, then you'd win that. You'd win that game. And just back and forth. But I never played too much of that. Mostly old people played that. But sometimes when we get together, we try that.
Was that
when
you
were
playing?
No, the regular football. Yeah, regular football. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we play all sort of games, but we just make up some games, or whatever comes to our minds that we would do, you know.
Do you remember anything that you
make up? Oh. Well, we call this Kitsikan. You know, you'd run and you'd stand with your foot close to the bank. You'd have your foot there on a candle, and you'd count, and all the other children would be behind the harvest, you know. And you'd have to remember every one of these kids who they are, where they're hiding. And if you make a mistake naming the wrong kitty, they're allowed to climb over the bank. And then you'd have to walk down the bank and get the can. That's the one thing that I know of that place, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they kick a can right in the water and you still had to get it. And then try over again. Well, that's the one made up thing that I know of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you
keep the family assembly? No, not anymore. Most people, what do you call this? Jumping? What do you call that?
Hot spot?
Yeah, hot spot mostly. Marble, that's all they play. Whenever the ground is cleared in the spring. Mm-hmm. And as the time comes along, they play the basketball. Mm-hmm. And now you don't see, you don't have touch time anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering, because your family did so much traveling and would be out at the track line, you couldn't really go to school, right? Did you go to school at any time, or no other kids that were going to school?
Well, I didn't have much schooling in my life. I mostly out tracking. And from wherever it came out here, and what little time we spent down here, I just used to go to school. But at that time, time was just too short. We didn't learn anything at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
actually, I didn't have too much schooling. I just went up as far as third grade in the memoir office. Last time I went to school was in 1935.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, I knew I went back to school.
Was that the school here?
Yeah, this school here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the reason why we never went to school is because we moved out in the fall before it freezes up. And then we stayed out there all winter. And then, like us, we'd come down here and there, here and now and then. And for the little time we spent down here, we'd go to school. Mm-hmm. But that time it wasn't enough to learn anything.
How about the kids that were in town this year
and Thursday? Oh, yes. I suppose they are. They're going up to the 9th grade and graduating, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
And are the kids now, you know?
Yeah, nowadays, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about back then? Did any kids stay in town? Or did everybody go out?
Well, not very many people stayed in town. Maybe just about two or three families.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there weren't even enough kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Who took care of that school? Who kept it going?
Oh, well, I suppose the government. I mean, it wasn't school district then, it was just territory school.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about the 3 years at New York?
Oh, I'd learned a little arithmetic and geography, but it's been so long ago that if I had to do any arithmetic or get out, I'd have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Since so long ago.
What about those teachers? What were they like?
Oh, well, they were like any other teachers. If you didn't behave, they'd have to correct you. Then. Of course, they did their job, but this was kind of teaching you. And it was up to you to learn, like anybody else. Learn or just don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these kids nowadays, they seem to be all learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you learn a lot of things from your parents. And your father taught you so much.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the most important thing that he taught you?
Well,
and your mother.
Important thing is being on time. Like, say, if you're be at certain place out in the camber before it snows too heavy. And then just being on time is the most important thing he's taught me. Never stay down in time too long. That's the important thing he used to talk about. You always be on time.
Do you mean like
like you are under unkind trapping, so you have plenty of time to be outside trapping.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the most important thing he's talking
about. What would happen if you went
on time? On time, maybe you'd be having your trapping, or conscience, or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's the important thing that I know.
Do you remember any time that you weren't on time?
Oh, well, sometimes it wasn't too bad. Like, say, if you don't go sometimes to your next camp, it's more heavy, that gives you work. Whereas before it's more heavy, you get out there, then it's behind you.
Mm-hmm. What makes that? You can see my work if it's
no trouble. Oh, yeah, you'd have to smoke through one day for your dog.
To
come back in one day, yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas, if you're on time, ahead of time, you didn't have to do that. That seems to be important. Besides, of course, he's talking all sorts of ways of trapping different games. I suppose that was important too.
Mm-hmm.
I say being on time was most important.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, you move up to spring camp. If it's too soft and no freeze up, you'd have a hard time moving up to spring camp. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about your mother? What important things does she teach you?
I suppose it's doing rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
It was up to a father who's got a son to teach you. And most of the things that he's got in
mind. So, your father did most of the
teaching? Oh, yes, he did most of the teaching, yeah.
And was your mother the teaching the girls?
Oh, he should be teaching how to sew and whatever. But a woman has to do with her daughter,
mm-hmm.
cooking, washing, I suppose, sewing,
mm-hmm.
and then tanning skin, I suppose, and licking gloves or hat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their own job to do, father and mother, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
You said that your father had an accident?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in 43, March of 43.
So you were gone?
Yeah, I was gone at that time, I was in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
But he got sick instantly. He was out on the vehicle and then going down the hill there. And the sleigh was pretty well loaded with all this stuff. And then we ran into a tree and he just happened to be in front there. And but my mother, I never asked my mother just how it happened, you know. I thought to her that I never asked her about it.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned it was in the letter that his sister was all smashed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he died instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty hard for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was pretty hard for me too, but I was away from home. I thought of my mother, how she was going to work all alone, taking care of the kids. But then there's always a way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then I found out that really tight, I got the army to send some money every month, like what they call allotment. I put in so much and the government would put in so much. And they send it to her, you know, that was easier for her, like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, especially if you had an old parent, no matter either old or young,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the army would do that.
If you ask them, they would take that out of your pay.
Oh, yes, they'd take your part out of the pay, and they did put in some, they did put in more.
Oh,
yeah, and then they send back to your pay. Mm.
Mm.
Of course, I, nowadays I don't know how they do it. No. Mm-hmm.
So, when you got out of the service, did you come back here?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right away, huh?
Oh, yes. It took me about 3-4 days to come back, and then I had to pay my way. If the army was going to pay my way, I'd have to wait for transportation. But Bush always didn't want that, he just went out. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How long have you had to wait?
I'd say about anywhere from a week to 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was that like when you got back home?
Oh, it was. Well, I suppose I forgot a few things. Just like, if I want to shoot a rabbit, I'd miss it. You know, it would be too far. Or if I want to shoot a rat, spring hunting, I'd miss it. It would be just too far away.
What month was this you got
out? In February. No, yes, in February.
February?
Yeah.
46.
Yeah.
How did you come back from
country? Oh, by flight from February. Anxious to fail down from them, same way, by flight from Anxious down to Galena. And the fellow brought me down here, but there was no flight down here in the year, just as far as Galena. And then the fellow brought me down by Dawkins. And then I wanted to go out deer trapping. It was still in March. So my uncle was down here. And then I was going up with him, you know, but I had to walk since he had a load, walk all the way up. And then after I spent a few days up the main camp, I tried one way, but didn't do any good. So I went up to my home, where my younger brother was, John Jr., they called him, on the Hoosier River. And then I came to him, and I tried everywhere up beaver trap, and still didn't do any good. I didn't catch not one beaver that year.
Oh,
there was beaver, but then I just didn't see them, just to catch on again. Yeah. Now that's a difference it makes. You know, being gone for over 3 years, and maybe you forget a few things. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you stayed
out
then for, you came in after
the beer session? Well, after the beer session, I came back in.
Okay.
In April, yes. And then when springtime came, happened, like I went up with there. Fellow they called Jonathan. We have to calculate. He wanted me to stay with him. So I spent the spring with him. And the rats were a pretty good price at that time. They were anywhere from 2.5 to 3 euros a piece. And that was pretty good. Compared to the average sometimes spent each year. You know. But then, since I was young, I lost it all in gambling. But the rest I caught, you know. I didn't. I thought I didn't care. Gambling?
Yeah.
Poker, I lost it in.
Oh,
here in Calgary. Here, right here in Calgary. Of course, I didn't know much about poker 10 years. Just went in for the fun of it, I suppose.
Well,
I suppose since I didn't know when to stop, I suppose I just kept right on going. Yeah. But since I was being stupid, it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just went in for the fun of it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
A lot of money going around
then. Not too much, but in the early years, there used to be big things. You know, they never have used chips in the years. They used great cash, mostly coins, at least. And then at that time, in 46, they're still using that. Well, after that, I started using chips, you know, with cash in, started using chips. But much earlier than that, we used to do games, you know, right after that something, you know, piles of rats, they play with that. And then, I suppose, they win or lose, either way. Yeah. But mostly you see cash, and coins out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when guys are betting the rest, where do you set the rest? In the camp?
At the camp there, mm-hmm. Before it ever moves on. We do all our rest, sitting out in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes, yeah, when people come, we move out of the Kite River, and people start coming down, they stop at our camp, and they give them a game of poker. Yes, they do that sometimes. Yeah. Oh, I was too young in them years. Oh. Yeah, and then sometimes there used to be a big thing, sometimes a fellow would win a big bunch of rats, you know. Or whatever they had. Since they were out there gambling, they gambled mostly with muskrat. And same way down here. Like they were, didn't have no cash to bet on them. So with whatever they had.
Well,
when those guys are betting, they think that they're asking. Sometimes they bet that with the ones that are still on the board. No, I've never seen that. I suppose that happens, but I've never seen that. Not down here. Of course, they say up in Whistler, there used to be big games, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They always used to cut a lot of fur up that way, I mean, in that area. In the winter, in the spring, they used to. Game used to be pretty abundant, and people used to, they're pretty much a hustler out there. And then they used to be given to big games. Whenever they come down here, they just give it to big games. They'll make a big game out of whatever they have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. You have to be lucky. Yes, there was one man used to be pretty lucky in blackjack and poker, I suppose. His name used to be John Nelson. And from what I heard, he used to be pretty lucky. Or he used to be a card player. And I suppose there was two or three others too, but in the news I was just reading to them. But I do remember people out on the petroleum bank with a big canvas stretched out. And I do remember seeing mostly coins and bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time I see a pile of rats out in the center, what they bet in front of each player. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do, if a person wins a rat, what does he do?
Yeah, he just keeps for whatever he wins, I suppose. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. And the loser just loses. Oh, well, he's in the same way like you or me. If you lose $100 right now, I would just say that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
up on Whistler, I heard that you used to even play in winter with spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, with a mink mostly. Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kinds of other things did people do for fun or entertainment? Older, adults, like
Oh, well, sometimes they have dances for entertainment.
What kind of music
too? Well, they used to play just a home music, like violin and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever plays violin, he always plays night after night. Same with guitar player, now and then accordion. And then for entertainment, all the people used to have dances. And then in the summertime, they used to play baseball across there on the sandbar. Of course, everybody played that way, able to play the sandbar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good entertainment. And that's the only entertainment I knew for the older people.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the people that used to play violin?
Oh, well. No. I don't know, they all passed away. Of course, nowadays, everybody takes the time, kids and all, they just grab the time and learn pretty fast. And that way, they especially play some.
Do you still have dances?
Oh, yes, but you still have dances, but mostly to a fellow that's singing with the guitar, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they hardly have waltzes or fox are doing anymore, but mostly just twisting. No, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the dancing used to be rocks and foxtrot?
Foxtrot, and then it could be called one step, the square dance.
Mm-hmm.
And now and then it could be called this. Virginia Reel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Swedish, because Swedish, or I can't read really translate.
Mm-hmm.
The older people and the old people used to very enjoy that kind of work, the dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Besides gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not too much when I was young. In them years, mostly older people used to do most of the dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what would the young people do all that?
Oh, well, they're skating on the water, I just thought.
Mm-hmm.
Until you take some of the time, it's late in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think of any other thing to say. If I was prepared for it, I could tell you a lot more.
Yeah, we're just about at the end of the clip, so maybe we should just stop.
Let's go.
Well,
everybody comes down, I mean mostly everybody, they have some kind of entertainment, so they put up a dog race, and they invite other villagers to come in and sort of challenge them, you know. Of course, I was the name of the game, I suppose. So sometimes they run long ways, and long course, and then sometimes short. A fellow they call George Gilly from Gina, he used to do all the wins, most of the wins. And a fellow from Nevada they call Joe Stickman. Of course, he was partly disabled in one leg. He used to have pretty good team, that fellow. It's surprising that he couldn't run. And then while these other men, they take the dogs around, you know, but then he didn't run. He had exactly one race. In 1928, I remember him winning a Fairbanks race, you know, 69 race. And then, ghost took him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, he was still disabled, and then he still won it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he beat his younger brother, who was able to run. And he beat, he won that race.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had
a good time. Yeah. Even up the hill, he had to ride. Other men had to run up to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that. He wasn't able to do that. But he trained his dog so well that he had to do all they can. It depends on the way you train your dog. So,
mm-hmm.
Now, for that entertainment, we had dog races, snowshoe races, and ski races. You know, a ski race must be pretty rough in this. If you ever fall down, it was hard to get up again. Sometimes coming down a bank across there, everyone could take a spill. Yeah. You just have to know how to handle your rope. You know, they have a long rope. I'd say about 20 feet long. And you've got to know how to handle that. Handling that rope is that you get up close to your dog just before you go down the bank. And going down the back, you have to play it out, you know. That slows you down, but it doesn't slow the dog down. And especially around quick curves, you'd have to get up, start up your rope. And before that quick curve, you'd have to tear out that line. And the man on the street slows down, but not the dog. That way it prevents it from taking a spill. Yeah. I suppose that was a trick in the ski racing. Well, I've seen as much as 5 dogs. They didn't have too much because the sleigh was pretty light. You know, there's nothing to pull you but you and the ski.
No
sleigh, just a ski. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you'd have to know how to handle your rope. I've seen men. I sit out there when they come in. You know, some men they handle their rope pretty well, and some men they just start paying out that line too late, you know. They tumble over.